It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Crossover Thursday all across the Locked On NFL Network. The Denver Broncos take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, joined alongside co-host of Locked On Broncos, that's Sarah Bettinger. And we get to talk Broncos-Jaguars, Jaguars-Broncos with Tony Wiggins, host of Locked On Jaguars. So the Jaguars audience is going to hear a perspective from both Sarah and I from Denver's side, and the Broncos fans get to hear Tony's wit about the Broncos and the Jags. Tony, my man, thank you so much for joining us. Love getting together with you. I know we don't get to speak too often, my friend, in this format, but I love getting to speak with you every week.
I know it, man. I love talking to you guys, too. And usually when we get a chance to chat, it's either on the Sunday show or it's at our meetings when I'm clowning all the time. So I'm finally glad to get with you guys and talk about your season and our season, and it started out real funny already.
Absolutely. So I'm going to throw it to you first off. Coming into this matchup for the Jaguars, why is this game important for Jacksonville from the standpoint, obviously, week one coming off of a loss, but what is at stake here for Jacksonville in this matchup?
It's a chance to get off to a fresh start again already after week one, and they're going to need to do that to get that bad taste out of their mouth. Because after so much excitement in the offseason, they come out last week and it really looked like a preseason game. And it looked like they totally leg an egg and made me put egg on my face when it comes to the Houston Texans. But the thing is the fans are going, this ain't the same old thing, is it? You know, we're going to give you one more chance to make sure that we don't lose total focus and total confidence in what you guys got going on. So I think it's a chance. It's the home opener. It's a chance for them to get a fresh start and at least go out and play with a little bit more respect.
I think that's important. You know, Sarah, I'm going to lead it to you now for Tony, in a sense, for the Jaguars, why this game is important, for maybe for your perspective as someone who's on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, Cody, it's like you said, the egg's on my face too, Tony, from the Houston Texans. I thought least talented roster in the league. Easily one of the biggest dumpster fire in the league. Definitely surprised to see them go out and play the way that they did in week one. And for Jacksonville, obviously a huge surprise from the perspective of Trevor Lawrence, you know, throwing three interceptions. We just haven't gotten accustomed to seeing him throw multiple interceptions in a game at all, much less three in a game. I think he said that was maybe the first time he did it since high school or something like that. So definitely give us the skin on Trevor Lawrence. What's the expectation going into this week? Can he bounce back?
Yeah, well, what you saw was the three interceptions did hurt, and it's not something that he wants to get accustomed to. But with the way the game flow went for me, I didn't mind the three interceptions, because what he's actually doing was trying to play hero ball. And you can look and tell if a quarterback is afraid and he's just throwing the picks because he doesn't know what he's doing, or if he's really trying to put things on his back. And I think when you look at it, I got more respect for him because he was out there fighting, trying to put things on his back, and he ended up with three touchdowns. A lot of them garbage time, but you still see the talent. The thing, the biggest adjustment for him is, and this made me, believe it or not, from a player perspective, respect Deshaun Watson more. How Watson was able to leave Clemson and right away come into the NFL and get after it. I don't think that's going to be the case with him, because it looks like there are some things that he has to get used to, playing under center more. Not knowing, it's almost like Jameis, knowing what you can't get away with, and not trusting yourself too much, that you try to do too much and you end up hurting the team. So that's the thing with the Jaguars, man. It's a fresh start. And he actually looked a little bit better. And I know we'll get into that a little bit later, the specifics of it. But he looked a little bit better than those statistics would make you think.
Oh, and I'm going to get it to the side here now for the Denver Broncos. Why this game is important for Denver? Well, for Vic Fangio, last week against the Giants, he had his first win in the month of September as the head coach. And so for the chance for the Broncos and for Vic Fangio, who the pressure is on him this year to get off to a hot start continuously and maybe start off 2-0 with back-to-back road wins, that's the hope for Denver this week. This game is important not only from that standpoint, but more so for the young offense to continue to establish itself with Melvin Gordon behind a veteran guy like Teddy Bridgewater, inkling in guys like Javonte Williams, and now having to deal with the injury that Jerry Jeudy sustained. We'll talk obviously a little bit about that a little bit later too, but I think for the Broncos, this is a huge key for them this week.
Yeah, I do too. And the one thing from the outside looking into the Denver situation is it's kind of real hard to sell your fan base on a season when it appears that your quarterback is a stopgap. And because that could be like, well, we ain't going to win it, but we want to just look okay. But then he goes out and plays as well as he played in the first week. And it's like, well, you got to remember this dude was a first-round pick. So there's always, too, that hope that what's going to happen is he's not a stopgap. He's just a late bloomer. And you're going to hope, you know, Drew Brees had a second stop. You know what I'm saying? So you always think Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, is it Matt or the other Hasselbeck? One of them, whoever went to Seattle, that was his second stint. You know, so it's almost as if you're saying, well, maybe he can get us over the hump, and then you start setting yourself up for failure. I want to talk about it, man, because I think this is a good matchup for you guys. And I think if there's one thing, and I'm not going to mention it yet, but if there's one thing that could hurt you, I can't tell you, but it's something. It's something, and I'm going to give it to you. I know you're going to wait for it, but it's something that could really do damage to you guys if you're not ready for it.
Oh, you know, we're really intrigued to figure out what that is, Tony. And obviously, we'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, listeners of Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Jaguars, just want to say the sponsor of today's episode, Crossover Thursday, our good friends over there, rockauto.com. If you need anything for your vehicle, rockauto.com has everything. Whether you need an engine control module, brake parts, tail lamp, motor oil, they have everything that you need. rockauto.com, a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. The prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. Whether you're professional or do-it-yourselfer, I personally have ordered various things from rockauto.com for my vehicle in the last year, and the thing I like about it is that they deliver it directly to my doorstep, and not to mention the vibe of the customer-friendly approach that they have is something that I value as well, because I can easily go down to a local auto parts store, but you know what? I don't want to pay twice as much, 50% much, or even 100% more for something I can get cheaper online at rockauto.com. And listeners of Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Jaguars, we want you to go to rockauto.com right now. Write Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Jaguars in your How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Tony, opening things up here. Sarah and I, we want to ask you a bunch of questions as it pertains to this Jacksonville Jaguars team. I'm going to let Sarah open up the gate right here. I'm going to hand it off to him. He's going to be Melvin Gordon. He's going to cut through here for a 70-yard touchdown. Sarah, take it away from my man, Tony.
Well, Tony, thanks for taking time answering the questions and for giving us your perspective. I hate to be the hot-button topic guy, but I am interested by this because of my own personal opinions of Urban Meyer. So, Urban Meyer, true or false, he is a flight risk as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Absolutely not. Made it clear yesterday during the press conference that he's here for the long haul. Now, does that mean he doesn't have a little bit of buyer's remorse and regret? Or does it mean that he doesn't, that this thing hasn't gone the way he thought it would go and there's some adjustments that he has to make? Absolutely. But by no means do I believe, I think Urban Meyer is, quote unquote, in over his head. That phrase drives me absolutely crazy. It's used improperly a lot of times, sort of the way kicking the tires is. You know, kicking the tires is when you have an old player who, like last year, y'all kicked the tires on Jarrell Casey, right? You don't kick the tires on a guy who's really, really good who just needs to change the scenery. So Urban Meyer, he's not in over his head. Look, a guy that runs two big-time college programs is qualified to be an NFL head coach. The thing he has to do is he has to understand that he's not going to reinvent the wheel. And there's nothing that he's going to be. It's almost as if, like, you take a dude that's an illegal sort of guy who does things on the street, but he uses business principles. And you take him and you take him to Wall Street and he'll go, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Because you can't just get a baseball bat and knock somebody over the head when they don't do what you want them to do. So it's a different thing. And you have to be able to use some of the same principles, but also realize you're not dealing with 18-year-old kids. You're now dealing, well, this is something in the past. You're now dealing with people with money. College guys have money now, but when he coached, they didn't. So the thing is you're dealing with guys with mortgages, wives that are used to being the king, and they ain't going to come in there and listen to you talk to them any kind of way, especially if their money's guaranteed. And that's not his issue. His issue right now is, I believe, is with the coaching staff and the scouts. He comes from a place, and he's a coach. He's a whistle-in-the-mouth guy. He comes from a place in college where coaches do the recruiting and they do the evaluating. Not here. There's a lot of scouts that's never had a whistle in their mouth, and he has to listen to them, and he has to listen to the workflow and the pace of the NFL. And so far, it's been a little bit of an adjustment for him.
Well, and I think that's been noticeable too, right? And I think going back to watching last week's game, obviously a 37-21 loss to the Houston Texans, I felt like we saw a little bit of that carryover from the preseason with the offense trying to get there, right? And I think it's a process, a new system. Trevor Lawrence, obviously a very talented quarterback, as you alluded to. you look at the talent around Trevor Lawrence, so great talent at wide receiver, obviously with Chark, with Jones, and even with Laviska Shenault, who all of our Colorado viewers, they love him, and they have him in a lot of their fantasy leagues. What is the pulse here on this Jaguars offense? Was last week an anomaly, or do you feel like it's still going to take a little bit of growing pains for them to grow and maybe get to where they need to be?
I don't know, and that's not a good question for a so-called expert to say, but the reason why I don't know is because I don't think they know. I think they're trying to figure it out. I don't think they're throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks. I think they know, they have an idea of what they want to be and who they want to be. I think the problem is the workflow during preseason, they just had too many differences on when do you install this, when do you install that schedule. And Urban didn't want to be vanilla. Daryl Bevel wanted to be vanilla. Urban thought it was more important that you come out and display and show stuff. Bevel says you can't do it because these guys are too smart. And if you show them too much, they're going to already have a line on you and what you want to do. So the element of surprise was supposed to happen this weekend. It didn't occur because guys couldn't line up. They had two consecutive penalties of offensive linemen not being in the proper spot. And then they had 12 people in the huddle right after that. It's like, what are you doing here? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people believe they spent too much time on a quote-unquote quarterback competition in practice between Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence, two guys that don't even have the same skill set. So you're now not working on the same stuff. And it's just, you know, it was just too much, and they looked ill-prepared, not ready to go. They were motivated, but it's not about motivation in the NFL. That's not the only thing that's going to get you over, because your talent level isn't different, and it's not better. It's not Ohio State versus Indiana, but it's not Florida versus Vanderbilt. The difference between the best person at the position and the worst is this small in the NFL. It's not just about motivation, it's about execution. One last thing, what you saw was David Culley had Lovie Smith, former coach in the NFL, head coach, with a guy who's been in championship situations, Romeo Crennel, former head coach, who has hardware, and you saw them look way more prepared than Jacksonville. That's all I got to say.
I think that's actually a great point. You know, when you talk about a college head coach transitioning to the NFL and a guy like David Culley, a first-time head coach, having that kind of support, that's huge. I think kind of along the lines of what you were just talking about with kind of, you know, being in over your – not necessarily in over your head, but maybe not necessarily having the right, correct plan with everything going in, or maybe not necessarily knowing exactly what you're going to do. Talk to us about, okay, Travis Etienne. He suffers the season-ending injury. So week one, all of us are expecting the James Robinson show again from what we saw last year, but it ends up being Carlos Hyde that leads the team in carries. What's the deal with that? What's the deal with James Robinson? Give us the lowdown on the backfield carry share in Jacksonville.
When Etienne was picked, there are a lot of people here that goes, oh, there it is for James. He's gone. I was on the different side of it. I really believe he picked Etienne because they needed more explosiveness, and they do. They need guys that are home run threats. And I sort of looked at it like Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. And like, nobody will care if you score touchdowns and you're not slow. Nobody will care where it comes from. So I kind of thought what would happen is James Robinson would start the games. Etienne would provide a change of pace and flash. And if they got ahead, James Robinson would finish. That's that's what I sort of expected with them. Well, what happened is the kid got hurt. He had a Liz Frank injury. And the weird thing about it is Robinson was getting all the work in the preseason, and they were barely playing Etienne before he got hurt. So you would have expected the other day that Robinson would get more cash. Urban Meyer said yesterday at his press conference, the one where he denied he was ever going to leave to go to USC, that shouldn't happen. That's not going to happen. That James Robinson should not ever be in a position where he's only carrying the ball five times.
Well, you know, Tony, the one question I have for you too, looking at the defensive performance by the Jaguars last week, almost 450 yards allowed in total. Obviously, a combination of through the air by Tyrod Taylor and a rushing duo of Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay really attacked the Jaguars defensively. Obviously, giving up 37 points is not ideal. What is the biggest thing you feel like the Jaguars have to fix defensively in order to have some sort of sustainable, you know, kind of formula to maybe be successful this season on that side of the ball?
Well, I thought in the preseason it looked good in stopping the run, but what they struggled with more than anything last week was bunch formations and in the short passing game. And I think once Houston started completing a lot of passes in the flat, and guys were just putting their foot in the ground and getting 7 yards, and then it's second and two. What happened was the guys in the front seven, especially on the second level, they start second-guessing themselves, and they started You know, you really have to be assignment sound, and you have to make sure you stay in your gaps. But when these bunch formations, you got the receivers all in inside, and people are running rub routes, and they're doing a little play action, and they're doing these quick hitters. Sometimes your head can start spinning, and I think it's just an assignment issue. I don't think it's a talent issue, but I do think it's definitely not going to get any easier than it was supposed to be last week against Houston, because most of the teams on their schedule look like they're better than Houston personnel-wise. So while they're adjusting, it doesn't quit. I made the analogy yesterday. It's like a guy fighting Floyd Mayweather, and then as soon as you think you got to figure it out, boom, he punches you in the face and says, don't think. Ain't no time to think. And this week is another game right now. You don't have time to think, and you don't have time to fix it. So hopefully for them, they'll find a way to overcome it.
Well, I'd be remiss not to tee this one up for Sarah. Sarah and I have talked about this on Lockdown Broncos, but C.J. Henderson, obviously a player that Sarah's had his eye on. Sarah, I'm going to let you ask your question about C.J.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fascinated by the fact that last year's ninth overall pick, I mean, we have this year's ninth overall pick, Pat Surtain the second, and everyone expects huge things out of him. So I was a bit surprised to see last year's ninth pick kind of buried on the initial depth chart for the Jaguars, and kind of hearing those trade rumors float about. And of course, they didn't end up doing anything, which I think is the wise decision, at least for the time being. But What's the lowdown with the secondary? C.J. Henderson, maybe specifically, is he in the plans long term? Is he kind of in the doghouse? What's going on that in that area of the team?
No doghouse. He started last week. He is their most talented DB, and they realized it. And Urban, I believe Urban and Charlie Strong reached out to Dan Mullen and had some people come up from Gainesville to talk to him. C.J. was just – he was hampered by a little bit of a you know, he had some little soft tissue stuff going on. And then when they brought him back, they put him on a bicycle in practice. It was 197 degrees outside. And somebody told me he is not the guy you do that to. And it's not because he's a malcontent. It's not because he has bad personality. He doesn't have bad character. He's introverted. And he just didn't respond to it very well. And some people thought he left. And then they went and talked to him and drove to his house. And once he came back, he was buried on the depth chart. He got into the game, and you saw, and I got into an argument on Twitter, which I do every day with somebody. I said, he's the most talented DB, and it's not close. And guys was like, well, Shaq Griffin would like a word. And CJ went out in the game and made a play that Shaq Griffin couldn't make in his dreams. So it doesn't mean he's not as reliable as Shaq Griffin, because he's young and he doesn't depend on technique. You know what he depends on? The dude, when he worked out with Ocho Cinco before the draft, Ocho Cinco ran full speed. CJ ran sideways and kept up with him. That is just, you can't replace it. He just has that talent. So they found a way to tap into that. And he's actually played pretty well since he got back. So he's going to start. They ain't getting rid of him.
Now, we love to see that, because CJ's got a lot of talent. I'm a DB guy, Tony, and I love watching DBs play. CJ's one of my favorite young guys to watch, and can't wait to see a little bit more tape, especially this Sunday against the Denver Broncos. But Broncos fans, Jaguars fans, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into a conversation. Tony's going to ask Sarah and I a bunch of questions about the Denver Broncos before we head out of here. But before we do that, let me tell you about the other sponsor of today's episode show. It's our good friends over there, betonline.ag. And as you know, as we head into week two, football is back. It's better than ever, and you can get all the action for all your pro and college football action at betonline.ag. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, you can go to betonline.ag, and they continue to be the number one source for everything football related. And not to mention, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, you don't want to take advantage and miss out on all the opportunities, the amazing offers that they have here in the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. You can use promo code LOCKEDON to get that sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Tony, my man, as we go through Crossover Thursday here all across the Locked On NFL Network, as mentioned, we always love talking with you. I get a chat with you in the water coolers. It's always fun, and not to mention on the Sunday shows, my friend. But we got a lot of great insight from you as it pertains to the Jaguars in the previous segment. Now, the floor is all yours as it pertains to the Denver Broncos.
So here's this little thing, this little caveat I want to bring out, right? We talked about Bridgewater. We talked about maybe now there's a little more hope than you think. When teams have to travel to Colorado, even in the NBA, I remember back in the day with the Denver Nuggets, when they couldn't win no games, but they scored 150 points a game. Folks, NBA guys would be like, I ain't got time to be dealing with that. And nobody wants to go up there in the altitude. So that's always the issue. There's an issue here in North Florida in September. It's called the sun, and he has his own brain, and he has his own. They it's like the heat here and the sun here knows when you're not from here. It's like, there he is right there. What are you got? How are your players going to deal with? It's a 1 o'clock game. How are you going to deal with the heat of Jacksonville, Florida, coming from Colorado?
That's a great question. You know, I think it does help that Teddy Bridgewater, Florida native, obviously he kind of grew up in that, right? So he maybe understands that better than anyone on the team. So it's definitely going to be a help to have him. But you're absolutely right. The Broncos historically have struggled badly traveling east in that noon, I guess it's noon for me, but 1 p.m. time slot over the course of the last, I don't know how many decades, Cody. I mean, we just struggle moving into that time zone no matter what, who they're playing against. If it's a Florida team in the heat, you know, we've seen them go up against Tampa Bay, Miami, all those teams, or if they're playing in New York, if they're playing Carolina, everybody always worries about the Denver Broncos playing in that 1 p.m. Eastern time slot. And for whatever reason, they do historically struggle with that. And if that is the players that are kind of just acclimating to the elevation in Denver and the thin air going to the, like you said, I mean, Mr. Sun, he's got his own plans for affecting the game. So I think it does help, though, to have Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who grew up in that kind of heat, kind of weather, to have him leading your offense.
Well, Tony, the Broncos are doing something different this week, too. Normally, they travel on away games. They travel on Saturday. They're traveling Friday evening. They're getting in, so maybe they might spend a little bit of time in the heat on Saturday, do a walkthrough just so they could get acclimated. I imagine that might play a little bit of a factor.
It might, and that's why I think the Jaguars should really – focus more on the run this week and try to get those guys. Those are body punches. So with that being said, we know about Von Miller. We know about Bradley Chubb, even though I want to ask you about Von. Is he still Von Miller? But what do you guys have? What do you have in the trenches that can prevent the Jaguars from sort of lining up and running down your throat? Because believe it or not, the offensive line here, there's a lot of talk about whether they missed out on being able to upgrade it. But that's in pass protection. The one thing they can do, and you can tell because James Robinson ran all over the place last year, is run block. So with that being said, they're big and they're physical. What do you guys have up front that could deter Jacksonville from wanting to do that all day long in this heat?
Well, you know, you mentioned guys like Von Miller, Bradley Chubb on the outside, right? Those guys do a really good job of condensing the edge, not getting caught inside to allow stuff to get to the outside. But, you know, on the interior too, Draymond Jones has been a player that has emerged. And obviously, Urban Meyer is going to look back and say, hey, I know that guy. You know, I coached that guy, and he's been a force on that defensive interior. He's finally starting this year. And so far, what we've seen from him and Von Miller on the same side together, it's been great. Now, I think the question is, after one game, we're looking at Mike Purcell, Shelby Harris on the other side. Shelby Harris, one of the best interior defensive linemen that the Broncos have, and also one of the best guys in the NFL. We didn't see too much from him last week. So I don't know if that's a product of not having Bradley Chubb, who didn't play last week with an ankle injury. But you have a stout defensive line. If Mike Purcell, who's dealt with, you know, Liz, coming off of Liz Frank, is 100%. He really clogs the interior. He plays that true nose tackle technique there in a zero or a one, and he commands double teams. And then you have Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell behind him that really plug and fill out an aggressive manner for the Broncos. So those are the real risks I'd see for the Jaguars in terms of who they have to watch out for, not to mention Kareem Jackson. While they play in a too high safety look, he's often shooting like a heat-seeking missile coming up inside the A-gap, and even on the outside at times. He's one of those guys you really have to account for.
So with the running game that you guys have, I'm going to switch to your offense. I saw Melvin Gordon's stats, so I don't know how he got them. Did he get it all in one big chunk, or who's going to get most of the carries, him or the rookie?
Well, this past week it was pretty split, you know, especially I guess in terms of snaps it was almost evenly split. Melvin did get a big chunk of his yardage on one play, a 70-yard touchdown that really just iced the game. So when you look back at the course of this game, it was a lot of just opportunistic runs, I would say, from both guys. Things didn't really open up quite the way we thought they would. And I think the New York Giants did a really good job of kind of keying in and making sure, hey, if the Denver Broncos are going to beat us, we want Teddy Bridgewater to do it. We don't want Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams to do it. And, of course, Teddy Bridgewater did do that. But at the same time, the running game was more – it wasn't necessarily consistent in terms of, hey, here's a 10-yard chunk play. Here's an 8-yard chunk play. It was really a lot of Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon taking what could have been 0 or 1 yard gains and making those into 3, 4, 5 yard gains and really chipping away and opening things up for the passing game in that way. So I think there were definitely higher expectations for both those guys coming into week one, considering they're both healthy, considering, you know, you paid a bunch of money for Melvin, you draft Javonte in the high second round. high expectations. I wouldn't say they were unmet in week one, but I definitely think, I mean, Broncos fans are expecting a bit more, even with Melvin's big run. I think over the course of the game, more consistency, more bigger chunks of 7, 8, 9 yards, you know, plus.
No doubt about it. So you guys, look, I guess I got to tell you what I think is going to happen, right? I think the Jaguars are going to actually play well. I think the heat will be a factor, but because of what I saw last week, I don't think they're going to be able to pull it out. I don't think with this staff, and it's more coaching right now than it is, and it's not ability to coach. It's just where they are trying to blend. They're trying to blend some of Urban's principles in with Bevel's principles. And I mentioned on my podcast yesterday, I like fried chicken and I like lasagna. Sometimes you just can't put them on the same plate. So, and I think what they're running into is they're trying to really find an identity and figure this out. I don't think they're going to beat a team that's had the staff in place with Fangio for a couple of years. He knows his players. He knows his personnel. But I do think they'll make a better showing of themselves than they did in Houston last week. What about you?
I think that's very fair to say. I don't think we're going to see the same type of performance from Jacksonville. You know, like I said, there were things that I liked when watching that game. Look, Trevor Lawrence, even though that they were down, Trevor delivers that strike in the end zone on the left side, and he's fired up. You know, you're down in that game, but he's fired up. He wants to get these guys going. I think that we're going to see that. I think what Trevor has to offer for Jacksonville, I think, is actually going to pay off in dividends. It may not be immediately, but I think once we start seeing down the stretch of the season, people are going to start looking like, okay, hey, you know what? This team will rally behind this cat. And they may already be doing so right now behind closed doors, but I think this will be a fun and competitive game. I really want to see if the Broncos can become road warriors. And as you mentioned, Tony, that heat is going to be an obstacle, because not to mention, look, if you have a stadium that has a swimming pool in the stands, I think that tells you all you need to know. Two of them. Okay.
They got two of them in the
stands. You know what? Might have to take a trip up there, Tony, just to be able to experience that. But obviously the Khan family, they really invest in that program there. I think we're going to see things kind of accumulate a little bit. I think we'll see a better showing from Jacksonville. But I would like to see the Broncos clean up some of the things on the offensive side of the ball. A couple of chances where they turn the football over in terms of fumbles. I think ball security is going to be a big thing. I think it's going to be a fun physical matchup, Tony. And like I said, thank you so much for taking time to break it down with both Sarah and myself. I know Broncos fans learned a lot about the Jaguars from you, and I know we learned a lot about the Jaguars from you as well. And hopefully, you know, Jaguars fans learned a lot about the Broncos from both Sarah and myself. But this is a crossover Thursday episode here all across the Locked On Podcast Network. Tony Higgins, host of Locked On Jaguars. I'm Cody York, host of Locked On Broncos. Sarah Benninger, also a host of Locked On Broncos as well. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we can't wait to talk about the game this Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff.